You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
I know that we are somewhat early, but I bet that we're almost all filed in because I heard that you all got out early at your other session. So would you like to get started? Well, I am so excited to be here with you. I just love being at ACBC. I don't know. I can't even tell you how many years we've been doing this. But I am definitely just appreciative of God and how he uses biblical counseling in our lives, how he helps us to get to the root of the matter. For those of you who don't know, I'm Dr. Vanessa Ellen. I'm married to that cute guy that just left here. In December, it'll be 25 years. Exciting, right? So when we were talking about getting married, we decided to come up with a job description that we thought would please the Lord. And one of the things was to deal with marriage and family, couples and issues, premarital counseling. And I think God has allowed us to do that as we prayed and asked him to give us a platform for that. Then he brought along biblical counseling. But in that, we started learning that there are many different specialties or aspects of biblical counseling. Well, one thing that God has had me dealing with here lately and for the last, 30 years or so, is chronic illness. Anybody familiar with it? Yeah, hands up. Let me see again. Oh, everybody. Okay, all of us. Good. Oh, I feel like I'm with my people. Yes, praise the Lord. Well, then I'm hoping that this will bless you. Let me say this. I saw some notes that they seem to have linked to this session. That's not the notes for tonight. That's the notes from last year. So last year I taught similar, but it was dealing with someone who knew they were going to die from a chronic illness. We're going to talk about those who are going to live with it for a long time. So similar stuff, but a little bit different. So just in case you're looking at those notes, All right, so this is really more of an awareness, okay? Awareness. I want to make you aware of things you may or may not already know, potential things to consider when counseling individuals who live daily with a chronic illness. What you're going to have to do is go into your toolbox. All those sessions you're going to get this weekend, the hundreds of sessions you've heard before, you're going to have to go back into your toolbox and get homework and this, that, and Halo data and PDI and all that. We're not doing all that. We're just talking awareness. We're going to review key insights to consider on how to help a person rest during times of debilitation and work during times of good physical strength. All right? Are we good with that? Awareness, all right? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be amongst my sisters. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to get into your word and see what you would have us to say about living daily with a chronic illness. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, help us to learn how to be more compassionate with one another and how to encourage each other as we go along on this journey. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chronic illness. You may have met someone who is constantly sick or constantly in pain. Have you ever met anyone like that? Constantly sick. Is that person in the mirror? Yeah. Constantly sick, constantly in pain. Or you may have counseled someone who is in despair because she's constantly hospitalized or in a doctor's office for one thing or another. Maybe this is you, as we saw with our hands raised. Maybe this is you. Maybe you've been told that you have a chronic illness. So today, we're going to discuss just the practical side to counseling your sisters who live with a chronic illness. What you're going to find is that a person with a chronic illness usually has chronic pain, not always. And sometimes people can view this as, oh, she's just a hypochondriac. There's no way she could possibly be sick that much. There's no way she was walking yesterday and today she can't walk. It's real. It's very, very real. Here's some content and considerations for our session. We want to define chronic illness. That's what we want to do. And I want you to remember that as counselors, you are not their medical professional. Don't try to be their doctor. Amen? Don't try. Now, if you are their medical doctor, you might not want to be their counselor. Okay? That could be a little conflict of interest right there. And listen, don't attempt to be their doctor, meaning don't attempt to know everything. You do need to read up on whatever it is that they're going through. You need to have a basic knowledge of their chronic illness so that you can at least kind of speak the language. We're going to establish your main counseling objectives. What do you need to help her to do? What do you need to help her to think? And what do you need to help her to believe? You need to have counseling objectives. Now, the first thing you might want to go over with her is realization of her health situation. Now, this could be the situation where she says, no, I don't have a chronic illness. Not me. I'm fine. Right? Absolute denial that this is what it is. I remember I've had one chronic illness. I've had lupus for, I don't know, since I can remember. And then about a year and a half ago, I went to the doctor and she said, you have rheumatoid arthritis. I said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. No, I don't think so. I think you're wrong. She said, well, we did the blood work. That's cool, but no. So you need to help her to deal with realization of her health situation. You need to help her to grieve over what God has allowed in her life. It can be disappointing that you are going to have to deal with this for however many days that you are still on this side of heaven. You're going to need to help her to grieve this disappointment. And then recognize God's love for her. Just because you have a chronic illness doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. And then you're going to need to help her be ready for the changes or potential changes that may happen in her body and the changes that may happen in her daily lifestyle. Now, you're going to see some places throughout my PowerPoint that say family considerations, or they say counselor beware. It says counselor beware, who am I talking to? That's right, counselor beware. Listen, don't rely on what you see. Every person that's living with a chronic illness may not look ill. Don't rely on what you see. I go to doctors, many different doctors, many different specialists, and they look at me and they go, you look fine. They run the blood work and they go, oh, I can't believe you're standing. How are you doing all the things that you're doing? Don't rely on what you see that comes into your counseling room. She may not look ill. Also, don't doubt what you can't see. Oh, I can't see the pain in her joints. I can't see this that she's going through. I can't see. Just because you can't see it doesn't make it real in her life. Doesn't make it not real in her life, right? Don't automatically assume that the illness is the result of a sin issue. You know, don't be like Job's friends after they started talking. You want to be more like Job's friends before they started talking, right? Don't automatically assume that her situation is due to sin. Now, I would also say don't automatically assume that it's not, right? But that's not where we're going to start. And do prepare to sacrifice. If you're walking alongside someone who has a chronic illness, the journey is sacrificial. Can you see that? The journey is sacrificial. You need to serve. I have a quote from my husband's book. The book is Theological Building Blocks for Biblical Counseling. You can find it anywhere books are sold, also on Amazon or on our website. Here's what he says. Illness is a byproduct of the curse of sin from the fall of Adam and the result of sin on one's life. Yet God can use it for his glory and our good. You need to write that down, put it on post-it notes, sticky pads, everywhere. God can use it for his glory and our good. When you have, and I inserted physiological illness, there is something wrong in the tissues of your body, which can be proved by objective test. He closes with, genuine biblical counseling discerns between pain that comes from the immaterial nature and pain that comes from the material nature. Pain that comes from a spiritual situation or sin sickness is immaterial. Pain that comes from material is something that is physiological that the doctors have said this is a real physical issue. Just as a note, everything that we're going to be talking about today, we will be referring to as real physiological illnesses that have been confirmed or diagnosed through objective medical test. All right, so the backdrop for our conversation for chronic illness is this is what you've got to keep in mind. Illness exists why? Because of the fall. Yes, we live in a fallen world. The ground is cursed. Everything's upside down. These bodies are trying to get back to the ground as fast as they possibly can, right? Illness exists because of the fall of Adam, which resulted in the curse of sin on our lives, leading to weak and frail bodies. I always say I can't wait to have a little conversation with Eve, but I figure the line is going to be very long. Illness is not always a result of sin. We talked about that. Illness can be a result of unconfessed sin. You know, the scripture talks about when I kept silent about my sin, my bones groaned. Illness can also be a result of God disciplining a believer. Now, this is one I think is important. Who is the healer of all healers? God is the healer. It's not the medication or the medical community. He uses medication. He uses the medical community, but in the end, the glory should all go to God. So when you're working with your counselee and she says, oh, that pill they gave me set me free. No, Ampan. Nope. God may have used scientists to create this, but ultimately, who is at the helm of your healing? God. Illness can be used by God to prevent a believer from sinning in a particular way. That's the situation. Paul, illness can be a result of not taking care of our body. The other thing that you got to realize is if you're counseling someone who has a particular chronic illness that she could have brought on by herself by not taking care of her body. If you know that you have a situation such as diabetes or something like that, listen, and you're always posted up at the donut shop, I'm just saying. There are some things that we do to ourselves, and then we lay down on the floor like the 2-year-old toddler and kick and scream about it, right? You got to realize that sometimes you may be having to talk to your counselee about, yes, we understand that this is where you are right now, but we don't want to make it worse. So there may be some changes that you need to make in order to make it better. Illness can be used by God to bring glory to himself, and illness can be used by God to expose the character of the person. So this is your backdrop to keep in mind when you're counseling someone who's living daily with a chronic illness. Now, I see y'all furious. Just kind of give me a slow down, you know, something, or take a picture. Sorry. Definition of as I go, click. All right. Take a picture. So let me tell you why you don't have notes. Because I have a chronic illness. No, really, though. I was really so sick when the deadline came for us to turn in our notes. First time in my speaking life in 30 years, I've never turned in my notes. I missed every deadline there was. It happens. So you don't have notes. Sorry. Definition. Go ahead. So listen, if we run over, it is not my fault. Ultimately, it is, though. All right. Okay. Definition of chronic illness. Here we go. From the Oxford English Dictionary. It says, it is definition of chronic. Chronic versus acute. Chronic. Chronic means persisting for a long time or constantly recurring, long lasting. It defines illness as a disease or period of sickness. Chronic illnesses can affect what? The skin, the organs, the joints, many different things. There are so many chronic illnesses. There's just too many to name. Arthritis, asthma, Alzheimer's, autoimmune diseases, heart disease, hypertension, Crohn's disease, diabetes, epilepsy, ALS, stroke, Parkinson's, ulcers, many, many more. 9 times out of 10, every Sunday, you're sitting next to someone who is suffering through or living daily with a chronic illness. Would you agree? I want to talk to you a little bit about my journey. My journey has been interesting. Somewhere between 86 and 97, I was misdiagnosed and misdiagnosed and misdiagnosed. You have this. No, you don't have this. You have that. No, you don't have that. You have that. It was just a journey of trying to figure out what was wrong with me. Got married to my husband in 1997, which meant my problems became his problems. I always say, he bought a lemon. He really should have hit return to sender. Because 2 years in, I was having surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. And I know he's too loving to say, but he probably thought, hey, what is really wrong with this woman? And in 99, I was unofficially diagnosed. And the reason I say unofficially is because lupus is a tricky thing. I call it random and rude. Anybody familiar with lupus? It's random and rude, isn't it? You don't get a warning. You just can't walk. You just have an issue. This hurts. Did you know there were joints all in here? There's joints places you never could imagine until they start hurting, right? So I was diagnosed. Finally found a doctor, and here's what she said. She said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. I said, what? She said, you have lupus. Now, this was 99. I had never met anyone with lupus. Anybody used to watch As the World Turns? Nobody my age ever? As the World Turns. Maybe you remember, there was a girl on there, big, curly, fluffy red hair, and she had lupus. That was the only person I'd ever heard of with lupus. So I was kind of like, what is this animal? What is this thing? What are you talking about? She said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. You have lupus and you're going to die from it. That's what she said and walked off. And I was like, well, all right. My husband said, well, do you want to cry? No, I want a dictionary. I want to go find out what this thing is and what do you do when you have this diagnosis. And the reason they couldn't officially is because my lupus is weird. I don't have all of the signs. I don't have the butterfly rash. I don't have all of that. I have all of the pain and all of the fatigue and all that, but I don't have all the symptoms. At the time, for insurance, they said they didn't have to diagnose you if you didn't have all 10. Still never got all 10. Between 99 and 2019, I had surgery after surgery, fibroids, bones in my feet were straightened, 2 uterine ablations, back surgery. Listen, it ate up the joints in my back. I went to the doctor. He said, do you lift weight? I said, have you seen me? Do I look like I lift weights to that extent? Then I had shoulder surgery. Same thing. It just ate up the joints in here too. I had all those surgeries in a matter of about a year and a half. Many things happened. 12 surgeries later, here we are. I kept falling asleep driving to work. Sun is not your friend. Just kept falling asleep. I had to change the way that I was living. 2021, my husband had shingles in the middle of COVID. In the middle of pandemic, he had shingles. So they told me, where are all my medical people at? This was the weirdest thing ever. They said, give him a Clorox bath. I'm like, is there another doctor in? Because I don't think this is good. I don't understand. Yes, give him a Clorox. So I had to take his head and wash it with Clorox. Well, I didn't know that I had never had chicken pox. He had shingles. So I'm just, you know, I'm being a good wife, right? So I have the sponge and I'm all in the bathtub and I'm Clorox and I'm just like doing all this stuff. Friday, I'm like, whew, is the room spinning? What's going on? Took me to the hospital. I had chicken pox. They were everywhere. They were going into my eyes. They were literally trying to blind me. They admitted me into the hospital because it was so bad. Friday night, I had chicken pox. Saturday morning, I had pneumonia. By Sunday, I had meningitis. I had chicken pox, pneumonia, and meningitis all in one weekend in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody can come see about you in the hospital. The nurses don't even want to come in there. They're standing outside talking about, you need anything else? Because we want to bring it all at one time. Nurses, right? Because people with autoimmunes You get a cold, I get pneumonia. It's a problem. Well, 2022, just a few months ago. So remember, I have lupus. Then she said, you have rheumatoid arthritis. And I said, lies you tell. Then they told me the other day, about a couple of months ago, you have lichen planopilaris. Never heard of it. Didn't know what it was. Just had all these bumps running down my head and my hair started falling out and thinning and bald patches. They said, one, when you have an autoimmune, when you have one, you're likely to get many more. So when, let's go back to counseling. You're counseling someone. How unreal does that sound that somebody can have on Friday night chicken pox, on Saturday morning pneumonia, and on Sunday meningitis? At some point, you're like, this girl needs counseling. This is all in her head. There is something going on with her. Or you start to act like Job's friends and say, what? What you doing? You're doing something. Something's not right. Come, let's talk about your sin issue. Something's not right. That's not always the case. What you need to take away from what I just shared with you is that the struggle is real. For someone who has a chronic illness, the struggle is very, very real. Likely they have pains and body aches, and the fatigue is unreal. You can sleep for 12 hours, and somebody testify with me, wake up tired like you've never slept a day in your life. There are many days when I have had to ask myself, well, are you tripping? Because this really doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, the issue doesn't, it starts to mess with your own mind. Like, there's no way that I can still be tired. So your counselee walks in and she says to you, I don't understand. And here's the other thing about a lot of chronic illnesses. Even the medical community sometimes can't put their finger exactly on what's going on. You have disturbed sleep for no reason. Here's something else they're going through. Ongoing medical care and medical expenses. Ongoing. So you have a counselee that walks in and tells you she has financial troubles. You think she's mismanaging her money. No, maybe it's just the healthcare system where she's trying to pay for all the meds that are not covered on her insurance. They could have difficulty carrying out normal daily activities. Like cooking, I go to pick up a pot and my wrist gives out because the joint has decided it's not. So what I have learned is that on days when the food is all over the floor and it's flying everywhere, oh, well, I go to bed. I tell everybody, well, I guess today is that day. So catch where catch can, I'm going to bed. I have learned that when certain things happen, you have to minimize and bring it down. So you want to talk to your counselee and help her to learn her limitations. She may not want to embrace the limitations. You're going to have to walk with her to help her understand her limitations. Dressing herself, bathing herself, cleaning and cooking and caring for her children. There may be days when those things are just difficult. Living with a chronic illness. Here's some expectations that your counselee may have. She may feel like there's just not going to be an end to this situation. When you're constantly hospitalized or constantly in a doctor's office, she may feel hopeless to a sense. You've got to work with her on hope, God's kind of hope. You see, with an acute illness like the flu or whatever, the expectation is that it's going to come on you and it's going to go away. It's out of here. Not with a chronic illness. With a chronic illness, her life may be forever altered. She may be even facing the realization that her condition could worsen. Symptoms may increase. Additional or different medical problems could arise. She may even experience severe side effects from medications that treat her chronic illness. So I've gone 20 years without taking any medication for the lupus until my rheumatologist, she said, when you feel like taking your health seriously, come back to see me. And I said, I stormed out of there, right? Thinking, what doctor talks like that? And got home and thought, well, I guess she might be right. She says, what's happening is you're making it worse. However, the side effects are great. So if you tell someone who has a chronic illness that they're probably, these things only happen about 1%. You know how many people have lupus? 1% maybe. You know how many people have lupus and rheumatoid arthritis? You know how many people have lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and a few other things? So what do we start to think? I'm probably in that 1%. So you can't be too upset with your counselee if she's slow about accepting certain medications on her journey. The other thing about the medications is they may have a shelf life. Oh, you can only take this one for 10 years and then we got to find something else. And then you can only take this one for 5 years and then we got to find something else. These are things that you have to walk with her on. Side effects. So I said, I haven't been taking anything for 20 years. And finally she said, you've got to take something. So I started taking, what's it called? Hydrochloroquine. Plaquenil. There it is. Side effects is that you can go blind. Well, I'm already over 50. Well, over 50. And I already have serious eye situations. So, you know, I was thinking, I don't think I want to do that. So far, by God's grace, it's been okay. But the reality is the amount of pressure your counselee is feeling in the moment of having to decide. She comes to you for what? Counsel, hope, help her work through it. Help her understand that God's still in control, that whether you take it or not, he's already decided. But let's see, is there anything else that we can do? It's a little different than your average counseling session. Wouldn't you agree? Here's the other thing that she may be dealing with in terms of expectations, that her condition may get better, but she may deal with losing the attention. Do you know what I mean? So a person that has a chronic illness that may have a helper with her, that may have family that helps out, that may have someone helping her take care, then all of a sudden she's better because it's in remission for a while. And then all these people run off into their life, which is a good thing. They need to do that. A person who feels the need to have people do everything for them is now going to freak out, right? That's when she may be tempted to pretend like she's still sick. You're going to need to watch for that and walk with that to determine, is she in remission? Because if she's in remission, I can push her a little harder about getting back to her life and taking control of the things that she can. Bear your own burden, man. We're going to help you bear the burden, but you need to carry your load, right? The other side of that coin is a person like myself. Boy, you let it go into remission. Aha, all right, I'm everywhere, all over the world, doing everything, speaking, traveling, hiking, running, and then what? Hospital time. You may have a person that's like me, that soon as they're well, or just a little bit well, they run back into life too fast, too hard, and now they've got a setback. You've got to walk them through understanding their limitations, even when they are in remission. Family and friends, relationships may change a lot. You see, others may go on with their lives, and this is not in a negative sense, but sometimes if you're stuck in a bed for a very long time, they can only be there so long before they lose their jobs and so on and so forth. You can only be with them so long. You've got other counselees. They can start to feel very down or tempted to be depressed about that issue. Some may not be able to bear the burden. Some family and friends just can't handle the responsibility of taking care of a person with a chronic illness. Just too much, team too much. And they may be unable to participate in certain family activities, so they may start to feel a little left behind. I can remember my grandchildren were playing outside. My window, my bedroom window, shows the outside. And everybody's outside playing. But everything within me hurt. My skin hurt. Everything hurt. I couldn't even get out of bed. And I just felt like everybody's moving on their life. How come I can't go outside and play, Lord? Everyone else gets to go outside and play. You've got to help them to think through that biblically. All right. I've talked a lot. Let me get just a little bit of feedback. What are you thinking? Yeah, yeah. And you need some, she said, it's nice to hear that because it's good to know someone else is thinking the thoughts that you're thinking. It's nice to know that someone else is going through similar things, right? But it's also good to talk to someone. I saw a hand.
There are lots of similarities with military veterans, especially military women veterans, where the system's not set up for them. A lot of what you described, and I'm
Okay. All right. That's nice to know. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's back. Yes. It's good. It's good to go to the doctor, have them check it out, have them do what they need to do to diagnose you and treat you. Yeah, but I will say it is very real to feel, even now myself, there are days when I feel like, girl, there just really can't be something wrong with you today. Like, you've got to be losing your mind. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
This helps us to help others understand and build that culture of care.
Yes, and a culture of care must be sacrificial, and it must be compassionate. Because honestly, if you've got someone that's just like, get up, try, let's just try to get up. When it's like, no, I can't get up. My foot, I'm walking from here to there, and then this foot goes out feeling like I broke something when I really didn't. And you want me to try harder? It doesn't work. It's got to be someone with compassionate care that understands. But yes, I think she's right. We've got to develop a care system amongst us sisters of how to love on one another. And that's why I said I hope this is just awareness so we can realize how much it's going to take sacrificially to take care of one another.
I appreciate that you're actually equipping us with what to do.
Yeah.
I feel like oftentimes caretakers, yeah, they're in a situation they want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And sometimes just being there,
yeah,
is it, and you don't necessarily have to say anything, but actually having action items of here's some things that you can do,
yeah,
to help this person through something that you can't just give a solution for.
Yeah, and you can't fix it, but maybe there's something that you can do. I see your hand. Let me say this too. We are Christians. As Christians, we can be huggy, touchy-feely, right? It's not all of us. I understand introverts. Introverts, you don't want to be touched to talk to or nothing. I understand that. But some of us are touchy-feely and huggy and whatever else. Let me tell you, I was in the hospital early on, and my mother-in-law came to visit me. And I remember I just came out of surgery and I was still a little loopy and she was just rubbing on my arm. But when you do that consistently, it is the most painful thing to rub on my skin consistently. And my husband was standing here, my mother-in-law was standing there, and I must have made a face or something. And she leaned over and she said, "Would you like me to stop doing that?" And I said to my husband, "Please ask her to stop doing that." She's standing right there. But you don't even know the things that are troublesome for you. Like, my husband still forgets, and he can just be laying, and I'm like, "Ah, stop it." Yes, ma'am. I saw a hand somewhere in here. Over there, yeah. Yeah, well, Alzheimer's and dementia is a whole nother feel, because if you're trying to share the gospel, you may have 2 minutes. You're not going down the Roman road and all this other stuff. You 2 minutes, Jesus died for you. And then in 15 minutes, she'll say, "What'd you say?" "Jesus died for you." And then it's gone. You know, it's different. It depends on the phase that they're in or whatever, but I definitely wouldn't stop. My grandmother, we're going to talk about this Wednesday. Come back Wednesday. We're going to talk about end of life and critical care decisions and how to deal with all that. So we're going to talk about that then. All right, let me go forward just a little bit. Living with a chronic illness, the cost can be great. Medical bills. Anybody gone for MRI or CT lately? And the nice little insurance lady calls you and says, "Hi, I'm calling from Humana. I just want to confirm, she's going to be here on Friday." "Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there on Friday." "Yes, and we're going to need you to bring $1,275 with you. What? That's your copay, right? the cost, the copays, the deductibles, medication that's covered and non-covered. You're counseling them. I guess what I'm getting to is sometimes it's not actual counsel, it's care. They may not need counseling as we formally know it, right? They need care. You need to figure out, who do we call that can help with discounted meds? Maybe the manufacturer will send them some meds at a discounted price. What do we do? You become more of a resource situation than, I'm going to need you to memorize 10 scriptures and da-da-da-da-da and do this and feel this. And, oh, here's this book to read. She may not be able to do that. Cost. Time, doctor's visits, physical therapy, consultations with new doctors and specialists, treatment, shots. Now I have to get 30 shots in my head just so that my hair can grow back because of the new treatment, the new autoimmune. Let me just tell you, they hurt. They hurt a whole lot. Matter of fact, I went in there the other day and I said, I don't know why I keep showing up for this abuse. I really don't know why. She said, because you want your hair back. Yes, ma'am. All right, let's go. What do they need from you? Maybe you take them to the doctor. Maybe that time driving is a time for a genuine conversation and compassion and just love and solace, just listening to her. You know, someone that's going through a chronic illness may not always be grumbling and complaining. They might. At some point, they might be grumbling and complaining, but there may be a time where they just need a space. They just need to be able to tell somebody, I am hurting so bad today, and have them not say, well, you know, you're supposed to be thankful. Okay, well, I am very thankful that I'm getting out of this car with you in about 10 minutes, because I just wanted somebody to say, it's okay, God still loves you. Living with a chronic illness may cause changes that could be great. Here's the changes. Appearance change. Unable to comb hair. Unable to style your hair. Or, here's a big one. Unable to bathe as often. Have you ever had water hurt just because it hits your skin? I don't care if you turn the shower on very slowly. I don't care if you run a tub. I don't care if you throw that water at me. It still hurts. Hands and feet may become disfigured. Walking, your gait may be altered or ceased to be able to walk. Now, you may think that it's something, it's very vain for your counselor to come in to you and she's crying because her walk, her gait has changed. It's not that easy. It's not as simple as it's just vanity. It's something that she has to embrace the change that's happening. The joints in my hip are going out and my gait is changing. So I walk and try to make myself walk naturally.
Girl, that, that's your shoes.
Listen, let me tell you about these shoes. Let me tell you. I am going to be the best dressed person laid up in that casket, just like that. We're going out just like this. Although I must admit, I am having to bring them down. If you had known me 10 years ago, they were much higher than this. But that's a part of the process. I can't anymore. My feet are changing. The bones in my feet are morphing into something else. They want to fuse my toes together. I said, no. Well, actually, that's not what I said. I asked him and I said, so, does that mean I'm not going to be able to wear my heels? Now, this could be vanity, all right? Counselors, go ahead, counsel me. This could be vanity right here. And he said, probably not. I said, oh, well, not doing that. But change, okay? You're going to have to take her slow. You can't just quickly rush in and be like, oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, you don't have hair. Oh, how about take her to find a nice wig? And don't be so caught up in wigs. I had a lady say to me the other day, your hair is always different. I said, yes, ma'am, and it's going to be different tomorrow. It is. You don't know what someone's going through. And you don't know how hard it is just for her to embrace the fact that she now has to buy wigs. Change. walking, gait, extreme hair loss or thinning, physical scarring or visible sores. Or just, she needs a device, she needs a cane, she needs a wheelchair, she needs a colostomy bag. She needs oxygen just to get from here to the door. These are changes that she may be going through. You've got to help her embrace that God loves her, he's sovereign, he's in control. But you also need to take her cane shopping. If we need to bling it out, let's go. Do whatever it takes to help her to get into the reality of where she has to be. Relationship changes. She may withdraw from others because her physical has changed so much. Anybody know this? Her physical may have changed so much. I am taking so many steroids, I am 2 times my size. Just say amen, I did. It is what it is. What can I do? I can't, I spent a moment in time saying, well, I need to lose some weight. Anybody ever tried to lose steroid weight? Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Not impossible, but it is very difficult. Until you're off the steroids, it's very difficult. Be careful, counselor. Be careful. Maybe less willing. She may be less willing to be around others. She may be less willing to go out of the house. Or she just may just be simply too tired to participate in activities. Now, you need to also analyze all of this, make sure it's not a sin issue of just pity party and going down the drain. You know what I mean? Career lifestyle change. Unable to continue the job that they've had for many, many years. Maybe she's a postal worker. She can't make that route anymore. Unable to begin a career. Maybe she's a young woman that gets diagnosed with a chronic illness and now she can't have kids. Unable to have children or care for her current children. Here's the big one. How many of us really believe that when our parents get older, we're going to get a chance to take care of them like they took care of us? But what happens when you can't take care of them? You need to walk them through that. Here's some potential sin issues, and we are rounding the bend. They could have a lack of trust in God, a lack of trust in God for their present health situation, and a lack of trust in God for their future health situation. One of the speakers said it today, no man knows what tomorrow holds. You don't know. You can't be all doom and gloom. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So deal with today because it's got enough trouble of its own. Help her to trust God with that. Lack of thankfulness to God for the situation, for their past, for their present, for their future. Okay, so my hands don't work as they used to. Can I thank God for the 50 years I did have? Can I thank God that I still have them? They haven't had to amputate them as of yet. What can you find to be thankful for? There's always something. Lack of reliance on God for the strength to get through the hard days. Listen, you may get a phone call and she doesn't have much strength to even hold a real conversation. Just pray. Pray with her. Pray for her. There have been days when the pain was so great, all I could say is Jesus. Over and over and over. Lack of strength. You need God's strength. You need God's wisdom. Pray for wisdom to make good decisions. Wisdom, definitely wisdom. Take medicine, not take medicine. Go to this doctor or that doctor. What to do, what not to do. Lack of reliance on God for help. Sometimes if you're dealing with a chronic illness, you can start to get into that mindset, oh, nobody cares about me. Oh, poor me. God can send somebody along to help you. He will send somebody along to help you. Now, here's the thing, though. Refusing help that God provides because you're just so stubborn. You know your hands don't work to get those buttons together, but you're going to try. But you won't let somebody come along to help you. Or refusing to ask for help. This is the main one that I see the most with us who have a chronic illness. We're refusing to even ask God for help. We're so prideful and arrogant, we're just not going to ask for help. I got it. I'll figure it out. You can't even get to the bathroom. I got it. Potential sinful behaviors are responses to their chronic illness. Not accepting what God has allowed, not facing reality. Unrealistic expectations of God healing them are demanding that God heals them. If God is a good God, then why hasn't he healed me? Or I know God is a healer. I've seen him heal people before. Doesn't mean he's going to heal you. And the healing that she might get might be on the other side. Refusing medical advice and treatment. Oh, they're just a man. They don't know anyway. Okay. Using their illness to manipulate or control others. You know that you can get up and walk to that refrigerator and get your water, but you won't do it. You're going to lay there and say, oh, well, you know I got a chronic illness. Well, I know you can get up and get to this refrigerator today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not the next day. But today, you can. Refusing help. I don't need anyone's help. I've always taken care of myself by myself. Pride, arrogance, or constant murmuring and complaining, questioning the goodness of God. Why me? Why did God let this happen to me? Then you go back to what we talked about earlier. What is he doing in your life with this chronic illness? What is he teaching you? What is he showing you? How is he pruning you and shaping you and molding you and making you? Because God has a plan even for this. Here's some potential presenting problems. They come to you, they're so fearful. Anybody know what costochondritis is? Hand way up, let me see. I didn't know. I thought it was a heart attack. All of this swells just randomly for no apparent reason. Just everything swells and it feels like it's pressing and it feels like you're having a heart attack. The fear that is over until they explain to you what's going on. They may have many different things that's happening to them that can seem a little scary. You want to talk to them about trusting God, but not only that, getting to the doctor to find out what it is and what will help alleviate some of that. They may present with hopelessness or just despair. You got to give them God's hope, hope in the Lord. Or they could present being very self-focused and not God-focused. And what does that mean? It's all about them and the illness and nothing about what God is doing and how he's using it and how he's going to use it and how they can still be fruitful in his kingdom agenda. You may not be able to get to the church to run the tea social. But you can pray. You can maybe make some phone calls. You could write some letters. Self-focused instead of God-focused. Or catastrophic thoughts or behaviors. Well, I'm going to die anyway, so I'm just going to take this whole bottle of pills. I'm just tired of this. This is too much. This just will never end. It's just, so I'm going to heaven anyway. Catastrophic thoughts. Or behaviors. Now the behaviors is, I'm not going to do what the doctors say I need to do so that I can hurry up and check out of here because I don't want to live like this. Here's some key items for you, the counselor, to focus on. Go through these scriptures and you may need to take a picture of this. Walk her through these scriptures. Let me put the whole thing up and then you can snap the whole slide. Some perspectives. You need to help her with a biblical understanding of her illness. Biblical understanding. We talked about sin. It's a fallen world. You know, this body is decaying. You want to talk to her about God's sovereignty over even the chronic illness. God is still sovereign, y'all. And you want to help her to have a proper biblical view of her situation. She is not a victim by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know about you, but I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. Anybody? Yes. Provide help. Help her to see God's perspectives. Help her to focus on becoming more like Christ as a primary goal instead of just being healed. Too often people with a chronic illness focus on just being healed and not becoming more like Christ in the middle of their situation. Help her focus on God's sufficient grace. And help her to focus on being thankful for all things. I think this is the last one. I'm going to let y'all snap. Woo-hoo. It's okay. It's coming back. Hold on. Help her to focus on being thankful for everything. Do you know Paul? What did he say to God about the thorn in the flesh? What did he say?
Take it away.
Please, God. How many times?
Three.
And what did God say? Basically, he said, nah, I don't think so. My grace is sufficient for you. That may be the situation with chronic illness. God's grace is sufficient even for chronic illness. His grace is so, so sufficient. All right, here's some practical applications, right? Rest, work, rest. Rest, work, rest. You want to teach her to rest in God, first of all. Rest in God. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in medicine. Don't put your trust in surgeries. Don't put your trust. Put your trust in God, who uses all these things to get you through this chronic illness journey. Rest in the Lord. And then you need to get physical rest. Anybody need a nap? I know I do. Rest. You need to get physical rest as often as you can. When you're working with a person with a chronic illness, don't be afraid to say, hey, did you get a nap today? She may say, no. Have you had like some rest all week? How are you sleeping through the night? You know, have you talked to your doctor about maybe helping you with something that's natural that you can sleep? What is it, melatonin or something? It may work for some, may not work for others. But, you know, the question should be there. How many hours are you sleeping? How often are you up at night because you have bladder issues with your chronic illness? You know, my memory is doing weird things. Like, I can't remember 1 minute to the next. So I went to, because my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and again, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. But I went and ran to the neurologist. Ma'am, something's going on. If this is Alzheimer's, let's go on and deal with that right now. She did all these tests. They ask you all these crazy questions. Anybody ever been through these tests? And they give you all these numbers, and they say, starting at 119, count backwards by 7. I looked at the lady and said, I couldn't do that at 20. You want me to do that at 54? No, no. But they ask you all these things. So in the end, then she comes back. She says, oh, all of that is fine. She said, well, how are you sleeping? I said, I'm not. I get maybe 2 hours of sleep at night because of my bladder. I'm up and I'm up and up. She said, that's the problem with your memory. Sometimes you need to drill down with your counselee to find out about their medical so that you can encourage them. You're not their doctor, but you need to encourage them to go to a doctor, go see somebody. And while you're there, thank God for the ability to have the insurance or to have somebody pay for it. You can give her the spiritual to get through this. So you want her to rest. She may have to scale down her activities, like not getting y'all notes. She has to prioritize sleep or make the notes. One or the other. Seek medical attention and advice if necessary. Work when you can work. Please be very persistent with your counselees with chronic illness. Hey, don't be a slug. When you can work, you need to get up and work. Work when you can. Don't allow your chronic illness to become an excuse for laziness. That's easy to do with chronic illness. Half of the time, I don't even know. I spend the first 2 hours in bed going, can I get up? Can I not get up? Can I get up? My husband said, you really need to stop that. Because 4 hours later, you could have been asleep. That could have been 4 hours of the nap when you're sitting there going, should I not? Work when you can, rest when you can. Work and delegate, and then rest. It's like rinse and repeat. So when you're talking to her, it's rinse and repeat. Rest, work, rest. Work, rest, rest. I'm so sorry y'all are having to do that. Rest in God and his power in and through your life. Get physical rest as often as you can, and don't worry while you rest. That's not rest. You're sitting there worrying about what you could be doing if you would get up. That's not resting. Go to sleep. Listen to some praise music. Read the Bible. Meditate on some scriptures. Rest, and don't worry while you rest. Work will still be there after your rest. Do we get it? No? All right. Main things that your counselee may need from you. And here's our summary. Main things that they may need. Don't assume that they need counseling versus encouragement. All right. Hello. They may not always need your formal counseling. They may need some genuine encouragement. God is with you. It's okay. I know it hurts, but it's going to be okay. According to God's version of okay. I'm here. I'm with you. Can I run an errand? Can I wash some clothes? Can I do something? Can I stop talking to you? Yes. Don't assume that their sickness is a result of sin. This is what they need from you. And listen, just because somebody has a chronic illness, don't withhold an appropriate rebuke. Iron sharpens iron. Encourage one another. Rebuke one another. If faint-hearted, do what you got to do. Just because someone has a chronic illness does not mean you don't speak truth to them. Just make sure you, as the counselor, you're very sure that that's the truth that they need. Because you could easily discourage someone if you're off on a rabbit trail just trying to offer a bunch of scriptures that's not even where they are. They're just hurting today. Okay? They need God's truth and they need to know how to apply it to their current situation. So don't withhold a rebuke. They need your compassion. They need your patience. They need your patience. And then here's what they need. They need you to become an information highway. Okay, so I got this situation and that situation. I'm not sure what to do or who to call about it. Information highway. She's getting it. She's getting it. Hold on. Patience. Got it. All right. Questions and thoughts. What time are we? 8:45? What questions and thoughts? Feedback. Yes, ma'am.
So a physician friend of mine said right now about 38% of women have a chronic illness. Mm-hmm. But she also said that not all medical practitioners are in agreement with that or
yes.
on board. So yeah. What have you found about the medical community?
Not everybody understands your particular chronic illness or is in agreement that it is a chronic illness. Either way, that's not my job to determine. Remember, I'm not the medical professional. So I take it at face value. Whatever they tell me they're dealing with, unless they tell me something that I think probably is a immaterial issue, a sin issue. See if y'all gonna stone me or not. Let me think about it. Like fibromyalgia, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to be all right. If I, you know, something like that, I'm like, well, you know, let's talk about that. Let's figure out if that's the right diagnosis for you, if you really need a diagnosis, or if it's really something else and your doctor just threw up his hands and said, I can't figure it out, so you got fibromyalgia, you know? But my job is not to do with the medical. I'm just here to walk with you through whatever it is that you say you got going on. All right, I saw a hand behind you. Yes, ma'am.
Can you, like, especially as a family or friend, walk with someone for the long haul?
Yeah.
I know I've heard some people, like, even asking how they're doing, they want to tell you they're doing better even when they're not.
Yeah. So how you're doing might not work for that particular person. Hey, is there anything I can do for you today? Do you have anything that you need me that I can help you with? You need me to run an errand, or can I grab your medicine from Walgreens, or can I bring over a snack? Hey, have y'all already had dinner today? Because if they haven't, and you know she normally cooks, and they haven't eaten, she couldn't cook today. Hey, can I bring by some soup or whatever, sushi? I don't know that how you're doing may work for everyone. Either it sends them into a tailspin or grumbling, complaining, or what's the point of talking about it anyway? Here and then there.
My husband, same, very early in our marriage. So how do you help encourage, like, your spouse and what they're, because they deal with it too.
Yes.
And they didn't, like, your husband bought a lemon. Like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know this was going to happen.
How yeah.
do you encourage them as well?
In the beginning, did y'all hear the question? Yeah, no? She said she's like me in the beginning, early on, diagnosis, and she didn't know how to help her husband get through the diagnosis with her. You may not be the one that helps him because you may not know all that you need just yet. Other men will have to come along, or the power of the Holy Spirit will help him learn how to love you with your diagnosis. But at the same time, he loves you. So you don't have to feel bad about what he goes through. I felt bad for so long that he had to pick me up and carry me and take me, wash me, whatever else. And I was just like, you could have been with anybody else. You know what I mean? He loves you just the way you are. And he said, I do to it all. He's going to be all right. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. Oh, did I see a hand? Yes. And then over here.
For communicators, when you're working with elderly people
yeah.
Who have really bad
yeah.
problems.
Yeah.
And they are not only poor communicators, but something like
she was talking about only want to say the happy face thing.
Yeah.
Helping them is like at some point you just want to go, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't like to help them.
Yeah, well, stubbornness and pride is not age dominated. You know, stubbornness and pride runs from little. You ever seen a 2-year-old throw a whole tantrum? Yeah. It runs all the way up to 100. Yeah. Stubbornness and pride, there's not a cure for that other than confession and repentance. And you can't make that happen. So that goes back to the patience and the compassion. She talked about how to work with the elderly, you know, and sometimes speaking to the elderly differently. If we are gruff and aggressive, you're probably not going to get very far. But if you're just like, you know, you didn't eat your soup today. She says, I don't want it. Okay. Peanut butter jelly? Nope. Okay. Come back in an hour with something else. Back to that soup. How about some chicken noodle? Okay, I'll eat that. You know, patient, compassion and patience. I saw it.
Do you have any tips for discerning, like, when it is in their head and when, like you said, sometimes the battle is within your head.
Yeah.
Like, am I, like, discerning with them when, and then how to specifically, like, deal with the fear of being around people when they already feel so fragile?
Well, PDI, personal data inventories, will help you a lot. So they need to be able to tell you what doctors, what they're doing, what medications they're taking, and then you need to go back and look at those medications and see what those medications are for. If they have a whole bunch of psychotropic drugs, you know, just the physical situation going on. But you can look up the meds that they're on. It'll tell you, that'll confirm, you know, what you're working with. And then her other question was, what about when they're too fragile to really get out? You know, that's when you do things with them in their environment if it's possible. You know,
fear in your own life, like being around people when you obviously have a...
Well, for me, the pandemic was absolutely horrible. You have a cold and I'm going to get pneumonia. You see what I'm saying? Like, so the whole thing just really, if I'm being honest, freaked me out completely. Like, and, you know, I went into this whole moment where I had to trust God just totally because, you know, somebody may say, well, I don't want to wear a mask. And I say, okay, that's fine if you don't want to, but I'm going to end up in the hospital. So it's trusting God to work it out and then setting my own boundaries. Then I'm just not going out. I put myself in a whole bubble for most of the pandemic, and I'm going to stay in my house. And no, you can't come over. You're free to get shotted or not get shotted, but you're not free to walk up in here. Because I have to determine if I go all the way down, then my whole care team has to engage. So now not just am I being irresponsible with me, now my husband, maybe he has to come speak to y'all. He's got to decide, go travel or stay home, take care of her. My daughters have to take off from work. I need to take care of me, so sometimes I have to say no. And I learned it the hard way. There was a guy, I was getting my doctorate, and there was a guy in there, and he was coughing. This was long before the pandemic. None of us would have sat next to him during the pandemic. He was coughing, and there were bodily fluids coming from every orifice. And fear of man. I didn't want to move. So they bowed their heads to pray. I only moved 2 seats. I should have moved to the other side of the room. But fear of man, I didn't want him to feel bad about what he had going on. And literally, not even 24 hours, everything in here was swollen. I was admitted to the hospital. The lining of my heart had swollen up in there for almost 2.5 weeks. Now, I just politely say, I'm so sorry, but I can't. I'm going to need to move way over there. And then you just got to trust God. I can't live in a bubble. Hand. Yes, ma'am.
What encouragement would you give to those of us who have small kids with chronic illness? Specifically when they're discussing their physical complaints.
Yeah. It's the same with adults. You'd probably just say it differently. Hey, buddy. Okay, so maybe you can't do that today. Maybe you can stay inside and play with the blocks today. And then tomorrow you can go outside and play with Adam. You know, it's no different than 5 and 95. Hey, lady. You can't today. Tomorrow we can go to the big people's place and play. But today we're going to watch Young and the Restless. You know, it's just, you just tell them, you know, with kids, I think if you just make it normal. Today we can't do that. So mommy and we're going to hang out here. We're going to make it a play day. We're going to do it inside the house. Whatever it takes for them to make the adjustments and for them to learn. My 8-year-old, my oldest daughter's son, he's allergic to MSG. He knows in the store when you're buying seasonings, he says, does it have MSG? If you just teach them their situation, their limitations, they'll take it from there, I think. Right here, and then we need to close.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little bit of insight. I work with people all over the nation. I can't necessarily go physically to them to meet. Yeah. So what I've been doing is leaning into things that have developed more since the pandemic. Like Hub or Costco has delivery.
Yes.
There's just so many things. Just sending them water and simple things like yes. that really helps out.
It does. You know, I think the pandemic had some things that we can take into the future, right? Because DoorDash, yes, right? Who knew that HEB would bring the groceries to you? What? The days when my feet are swollen and everything's broken? Thank you. All right, good job. One last person. Just tell me this. Was this helpful? Was it helpful?
You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.